ওম বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস পরিব্রাজকাচার্য অষ্টোত্তরশত শ্রী শ্রীমদ অভয়চরণারবিন্দ ভক্তিবেদান্ত স্বামী প্রভুপাদ কি জয়। অনন্তকোটি বৈষ্ণব বৃন্দ কি জয়। নামাচার্য শিল হরিদাস ঠাকুর কি জয়। প্রেম সে কহো শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শিবাশাদি গৌর ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয়। শ্রী শ্রী রাধা কৃষ্ণ গোপ গোপীনাথ শ্যামকুণ্ড রাধা কুণ্ড গিরি গোবর্ধন কি জয়। শ্রী শ্রী রাধা মদন মোহন কি জয়। শ্রী শ্রী কৃষ্ণ বলরাম কি জয়। শ্রী শ্রী গৌরনিতাই কি জয়। শ্রীল সন্দীপনী মুনি কি জয়। সমবেত ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয়। গ্রন্থরাজ শ্রীমদ ভাগবতম কি জয়। গৌর প্রেমানন্দে হরি হরি বল। All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine, Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Anushatane. Hare Krishna. Radhacharan Prabhu made a request for me to sing Radha Krishna Pranamore. Where is Radhacharan Prabhu? Oh, I was wondering. It's all right. The fan is there. So we'll do it after the deity opening. Thank you. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 13. This chapter is entitled as Dhritarashtra Quits Home, text 52 and 53. Since text 52 doesn't have a purport, I'll just read it through and then we'll discuss text 53, which has been written on the board. Text 52. শ্রোতভি সপ্তভীর্যা বৈ সূর্ধ্বনি সপ্তধা ব্যধাত সপ্তানাং প্রীতয়ে নানা সপ্ত শ্রোতা প্রচক্ষতে। ট্রান্সলেশন বাই হিজ ডিভাইন গ্রেস শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ। দ্য প্লেস ইজ কল্ড সপ্ত শ্রোতা ডিভাইডেড বাই সেভেন because there the waters of the sacred Ganges were divided into seven branches. This was done for the satisfaction of the seven great rishis. So now we'll go to text 53. Switch off the mobile phones, please. Text 53. Shnatva anusavanam tasmin snatva anusavanam tasmin hutva chagnin yathavidhi hutva chagnin yathavidhi অভক্ষ উপশান্তাত্মা অভক্ষ উপশান্তাত্মা স আস্তে বিগতৈ সনহ স सा आस्ते विगतैषणः स्नात्वानुसवनं तस्मिन् हूत्वा चाग्निन् यथाविधि अभक्ष उपशान्तात्मा सा आस्ते विगतैषणः स्नात्वानुसवनं तस्मिन् हूत्वा चाग्निन् यथाविधि अभक्ष उपशान्तात्मा सा आस्ते विगतैषणः स्नात्वानुसवनं तस्मिन् हूत्वा चाग्निन् यथाविधि अभक्ष उपशान्तात्मा सा आस्ते विगतैषणः स्नात्वा बाय टेकिंग बाथ अनुसावनम रेगुलरली थ्री टाइम्स मॉर्निंग नून एंड इवनिंग तस्मिन् इन दैट गैंजेस डिवाइडेड इंटू सेवन हुत्वा बाय परफॉर्मिंग द अग्निहोत्र सैक्रिफाइस चा also agnin in the fire jatha vidhi just according to the tenets of the scripture ap bhakshaha fasting by drinking only water upashanta completely controlled atma the gross senses and the subtle mind Saha, Dhritarashtra, Aste would be situated, Vigata, devoid of, Eshanaha, thoughts in relation with family welfare. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. On the banks of Saptashrota, Dhritarashtra is now engaged in beginning Ashtanga Yoga by bathing three times daily in the morning, noon and evening, by performing the Agnihotra sacrifice with fire and by drinking only water. This helps one control the mind and the senses and frees one completely from thoughts of familial affection. Please repeat after me. On the banks of Saptashrota, Dhritarashtra is now engaged in beginning Ashtanga Yoga by bathing three times daily in the morning, noon and evening, by performing the Agnihotra sacrifice with fire and by drinking only water, this helps one control the mind and the senses and frees one completely from thoughts of familial affection. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The yoga system is a mechanical way to control the senses and the mind and divert them from matter to spirit. The preliminary processes are sitting posture, meditation, spiritual thoughts, manipulation of air passing within the body, and gradual situation in trance facing Absolute Person, Paramatma. Such mechanical ways of rising to the spiritual platform prescribe some regulative principles of taking bath daily 3 times, fasting as far as possible, sitting and concentrating the mind on spiritual matters, and thus gradually becoming free from Vishaya or material objectives. Material existence means to be material existence means to be absorbed in the material objective, which is simply illusory. House, country, family, society, children, property, and business are some of the material coverings of the spirit, Atma. And the yoga system helps one to become free from all these illusory thoughts and gradually turn towards the absolute person, Paramatma. By material association and education, we learn simply to concentrate on flimsy things. But yoga is the process of forgetting them altogether. Modern so-called yogis and yoga systems manifest some magical fits, and ignorant persons are attracted by such false things. Or they accept the yoga system as a cheap healing process for disease of the gross body. But factually, the yoga system is the process of learning to forget what we have acquired throughout the struggle for existence. Dhritarashtra was all along engaged in improving family affairs by raising the standard of living of his sons, or by usurping the property of the Pandavas for the sake of his own sons. These are common affairs for a man grossly materialistic and without knowledge of the spiritual force. He does not see how this can drag one from heaven to hell. By the grace of his younger brother Vidura, Dhritarashtra was enlightened and could see his grossly illusory engagements. And by such enlightenment, he was able to leave home for spiritual realization. Sri Narada Deva was just foretelling the way of his spiritual progress in a place which was sanctified by the flow of the celestial Ganges. Drinking water only without solid food is also considered fasting. This is necessary for advancement of spiritual knowledge. A foolish man wants to be a cheap yogi without observing the regulative principles. A man who has no control over the tongue at first can hardly become a yogi. Yogi and bhogi are two opposite terms. The bhogi, or the merry man who eats and drinks, cannot be a yogi. For a yogi is never allowed to eat and drink unrestrictedly. We may note with profit how Dhritarashtra began his yoga system by drinking water only and sitting calmly in a place with a spiritual atmosphere, deeply absorbed in the thoughts of the Lord Hari, the personality of Godhead. Snatvanu savanang tashmin hutva chagnin yatha vidhi abhyaksha upashantatma sa aste bigatoshanaha. On the banks of Saptashrota, Dhritarashtra is now engaged in beginning Ashtanga Yoga by bathing 3 times daily in the morning, noon and evening, by performing the Agnihotra sacrifice with fire and by drinking only water. This helps one control the mind and the senses and frees one completely from thoughts of familial affection. So, Narad Muni was forecasting to Yudhishthir Maharaj what actually will happen to Dhritarashtra. When Dhritarashtra couldn't be found at home and everyone became very worried, Yudhishthira Maharaj became not only worried, he became very perturbed. He became very concerned what had happened to his blind uncle. And upon inquiring, when he found out that his uncle was nowhere to be seen, then he was afraid that Dhritarashtra, along with his wife Gandhari, may have drowned himself in the river because of his neglect, because of already he was heartbroken for losing his 100 sons. And 100 sons were killed by the Pandavas. Actually, all the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra were killed by Bhima. And Bhima killed them because Bhima promised that's what he would do. Especially for a Kshatriya, it is all right to take revenge. For Brahmanas, Brahmanas shouldn't take any revenge. Brahmanas should forgive. But a Kshatriya is allowed in the Vedic culture. A Kshatriya is allowed to take revenge. And Bhima actually promised. He took a vow. Because Duryodhan ordered Dushasan to strip Draupadi naked in the assembly. And he indicated that by pointing out to his thigh, strip her naked. So Bhima noticed that. Therefore he took a vow. Yes, after this 13 years of term of exile in the forest and in staying incognito for 1 year, when I come back, we'll fight. And I will kill Duryodhan by breaking his thigh. At least Duryodhan, he took a vow of killing him by breaking his thigh. But with Dushasan, he took a terrible vow. He took a vow that he would rip open his ribs and he would drink his blood. So these are the Kshatriyas, like lions. And it is allowed because according to their nature, one who is in a mode of passion, his nature is like that. And the Vedic society gives one the opportunity to act according to his propensity. There is no need to be unnatural. One can be free to act according to his propensity, at least in the Vedic culture. If you're a lion, behave like a lion. That is what Vedic culture is advising. And if you are a cow, then be like a cow. If you are a jackal, then be like a jackal. So different animals have different propensities. Similarly, different people also have different propensities. And accordingly, they are allowed to live. And although they were cousins, but they fought. And in that battle, Bhima killed all 100 sons. So Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't need to lament about that. But Yudhishthira Maharaj was such a saintly person that he was always very feeling very guilty that because of them Dhritarashtra lost all his 100 sons. And not only 100 sons, the grandson, everyone he lost. So that is the nature of a saintly person. Saintly person doesn't want to harm anybody. But when he is forced into it, what can be done? Pandavas didn't want to fight. At the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, we see that how Arjun didn't want to fight. He said, I rather would live like a mendicant. Bhiksham apiha loke. Bhiksha means to beg. I would rather survive by begging, but I can't kill this person in order to enjoy my kingdom. How can I kill Bhishma? How can I kill Drona? And how can I kill these very, very close relatives of mine? Katham Bhishmam Aham Sankhe Dronam Cha Madhusudhana Ishubhi Pratiyat Sami Pujarha Varishudhana. They are my Pujarha, worshipable, superiors. How can I shoot arrows at them? So that was Arjuna's stand. But Duryodhan forced him into this battle. Therefore, Krishna was compelled to advise him that, Arjuna, this is not the time to retreat. This is not the time to leave the battlefield. You didn't want to fight. You tried to avoid this battle all along. We all tried. I personally went to make truce. But Duryodhan doesn't want to listen. He didn't want to listen. So what can you do? So fight. You are a Kshatriya, so you must fight. If a Kshatriya leaves the battlefield, it will be the most unfortunate unfortunate thing for him. It is the most undesirable act on his part. Because a warrior, a Kshatriya, when he comes to the battlefield, he cannot leave. He would rather die than leave the battlefield. For a Kshatriya, to be killed with the arrows or being attacked at the back is the worst disgrace. Back means he had been running away. The Kshatriya faces his enemy face to face. And there he either kills the enemy or he dies. And also, when a Kshatriya dies in the battlefield, what happens? He is elevated to the heavenly planet. Therefore, Krishna is telling Arjuna, what's the loss? If you win, you will enjoy the kingdom of this earth. And if you die, then you will be elevated to the heavenly planet and enjoy there. So there is no loss. You will enjoy in any case. So fight. So in this way, Krishna actually compelled Arjuna to fight, or advised Arjuna to fight. So this is how the battle of Kurukshetra was fought. But as I was mentioning, Yudhishthira Maharaj was always, in Mahabharata you see that how Yudhishthira Maharaj was always lamenting. And he tried to compensate for that. That he tried to take care of his uncle and aunt, Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, in the best possible way. And although they tried to harm him in so many ways, not they, mainly Dhritarashtra and his son, not Gandhari. Gandhari was a very saintly lady. And Gandhari actually told Duryodhan time and time again, Duryodhan, give up your evil plans. Just make friends with the Pandavas. Because they are pious and eventually they will win. And if you continue your pursuit against them, then your destruction is inevitable. When Duryodhan went to take the blessings of his mother from his mother, his Gandhari again told Duryodhan, what I have been telling you all this while, that is going to happen. Yatha dharma, tatha jaya. Wherever there is dharma, victory will be there. No matter how powerful your army is, you won't win this battle. Because dharma is with the Pandavas. You are siding with adharma, so you can never win. So So wherever there is dharma, the victory is bound to be there. And where is dharma? Wherever there is submission to Krishna, that is dharma. Wherever, whoever is surrendered to Krishna, he is situated on dharma. Whoever goes against Krishna is pursuing the path of adharma. So Gandhari is actually a very, very noble lady. She was an extremely noble lady. She is considered to be one of the satis, the one of the most chaste women, the most exemplary women that the world has ever seen. That is Gandhari. So when Yudhishthira Maharaj was lamenting in this way, Narad Muni appeared there. Narad Muni is the well-wisher of everyone, especially those who are situated on the path of righteousness, those who are devotees of Krishna. Narad Muni always advises them. And when someone is eligible to make spiritual advancement, Narad Muni comes and guides him. So he came to Yudhishthira Maharaj and told him, "Yudhishthira, don't worry. Your uncle Dhritarashtra, along with his wife Gandhari, have left home with his brother Vidura. They have gone to the southern part of the Himalayas, and they are on the bank of Saptashrota, the way the Ganges is divided in 7 streams. Shrota means the flow of the river, the streams. And there the river is divided into 7 streams. To facilitate the 7 rishis, Shapta rishis, to perform their spiritual activities. So the 7 rishis are situated there. It's a very holy place. So he has gone there. And there, on the bank of the river, Ganges, taking bath 3 times every morning, performing the fire sacrifice, Agnihotra, Yajna, he is performing Ashtanga Yoga. And then Narad Muni, later on we will see that Narad Muni told how Dhritarashtra will attain his perfection, spiritual perfection, and give up his body and go back to the spiritual sky. So, this is how Dhritarashtra achieved the ultimate goal of his life. Yoga system, and Prabhupada in this verse, in the purport, Prabhupada is pointing out what is the real yoga system. Like we see nowadays, it has become a fashion to practice yoga. In the West, in the mid-60s, yoga became very popular. Some yogis went. This yogi, that yogi, this Baba, that Baba. They went and started their yoga institution. And what is the yoga institution? Come, practice for 30 minutes, and you will start to levitate. One yogi went to teach levitation. Levitation means your body goes up and floats in the air. He was supposed to teach levitation, but no one seen even him levitating. This is simple cheating. The person himself cannot levitate. How is he going to teach others to levitate? And this, even levitation is a very simple thing for as when a yoga is concerned. And nowadays, actually in India also, nowadays it has become very popular. Yoga system. How many yoga schools are there in Ujjain? Must be quite a few hundred. At least a few dozens yoga school must be there. And what are they teaching? These are all deviation from the real process. Now yoga, here it has been pointed out, and Bhagavad Gita also Krishna pointed out in the sixth chapter, how should one practice yoga? The first consideration is that he must go to a solitary place. He must go to a solitary place. He can't live in a city or a town or even in a village. Somebody who wants to practice yoga cannot live where other people are. He should go to a solitary place. That's the first consideration. Is the Bhagavad Gita here? Let's just give me the Bhagavad Gita. That is the prerequisite to go to a solitary place. And then the yoga consists of eight different branches. Those eight branches are yam, meaning external purification. Niyama means internal purification. Then asana, the proper postures to qualify the body, to adjust the body, to perform yoga. Then the fourth stage is pranayama, the controlling the prana, the life air, and which ultimately entails that one should stop even breathing. Pranayama, the breathing system, actually consists of three stages: Rechaka, Puraka and Kumbhaka. Rechaka means give out the air, exhale. Then Puraka means inhale, and then Kumbhaka means retaining the air. Rechaka, Puraka and Kumbhaka. And then ultimately what one does, Rechaka and Puraka, these to inhale and exhale, begins to minimize. And Kumbhak, the retaining the air, becomes the main aspect. And in this way, the yogi stops breathing completely. And in this way, a yogi, in the fourth stage, he didn't even start meditation as yet. To come to the meditation, one goes through this phase. After pranayam comes pratyahar, withdrawing the senses from the object of the senses. Then begins dhyana, meditation. Then dharana, and then samadhi, trance. And in trance, what actually happens? In trance, does one just learn to levitate? No. In trance, one actually sees the super soul in the heart, Krishna in the heart. So in the sixth chapter, Krishna is giving a very clear indication like 11 and 12 we're describing. I'll just read the English. To practice yoga, one should go to a secluded place and should lay kusha grass on the ground and then cover it with a deer skin and a soft cloth. The seat should neither be too high nor too low and should be situated in a sacred place. The yogi should then sit on it very firmly and practice yoga to purify the heart by controlling his mind, senses and activities and fixing the mind on one point. So these are the prerequisites. Sucho deshe pratishthapya. Sucho deshe, in a solitary place, one should, holy place, one should go and practice yoga. Not just stay in a city or in a village and continue to do his regular activities and then for half an hour or 15 minutes do yoga. And Prabhupada is pointing out that either that or what people do for physical purpose. In the purport, modern so-called yogis and yoga systems manifest some magical siddhis, and ignorant persons are attracted by such false things, or they accept the yoga system as a cheap healing process for disease of the gross body. Some yogis have become very popular now, because by practicing yoga, he is teaching how to control, how to get rid of the disease. Diabetes. Practicing yoga to cure diabetes. Practicing yoga to cure blood pressure. Is this the purpose of yoga? No. That's what has been pointed out time and time again. That yoga is a process of linking the spirit soul with the super soul. The word yoga means what? The Sanskrit word yoga, everybody knows. Yog and Viyog. Yog means what? This sign? Addition, adding, connecting, plus. Right? Now we are what? Now we are minus Krishna, aren't we? We are separated from Krishna. Therefore, now we are I minus Krishna. That is our situation in the material nature, right? So real yoga is I plus Krishna. That is what yoga is. Real yoga is connecting Krishna with Krishna. But in order to connect to Krishna in other ages, one had to purify himself through this very arduous process. Very arduous process of purifying the senses, purifying the mind, and eventually in this way purifying the heart. That is the yoga system. And that had very specific 8 stages. Therefore it is called Ashtanga Yoga. But because no one is qualified to perform Ashtanga Yoga in this age, Krishna came and gave the direct process of Bhakti Yoga. Direct process. Establishing a direct link with Krishna. Krishna has made this process so easily available in this age. In other ages, it was a gradual process of elevation. It's something like, in order to become a PhD, what one has to go through? He has to go through primary school, right? Then secondary school, then high school, then college, then university, then he must do his master's degree, and then only he can submit the thesis for his PhD. But if some education system makes an arrangement, then now no requirement for going to primary school, secondary school and so forth. You can directly apply for your PhD. It generally doesn't happen. But in this age it happened. PhD means the highest level. So highest level of attaining the spiritual perfection has been directly given in this age as a special prerequisite by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Direct link with Krishna. So what's the point in, what's the use of practicing this yoga or that yoga? In the 6th chapter, Krishna also pointed out, tapasibho adhiko yogi and gyani bhascha matodhika. A yogi is superior to a person who is performing austerity, an ascetic. A yogi is superior to an ascetic. A yogi is even superior to a gyani. So in this way he establishes that a yogi is situated in the highest platform. And then what Krishna is saying? Yoginam opi sarvesham madgatena antaratmanah. And of all the yogis, one who has become my devotee
He is the greatest. So who is the greatest yogi? A devotee of Krishna. Same yukta tamo mataha. So yoga means to be yukta, right? Yoga means to be connected. And yukta tamo means what? It's a superlative. Yukta tama is superlative. Yukta, yukta tara, yukta tama. Most intimately connected. So that is the process that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. A devotee is the yukta tama. So yoga means to be yukta. And plus means to become connected. Minus means to be separated. So one who is most intimately connected to Krishna is obviously the greatest of all yogis, because the purpose of yoga is to connect with Krishna. And this process does not require any special arrangement. One doesn't have to go to Himalayas. One doesn't have to go to a solitary place. One can live wherever one is. Whether it is Ujjain, or whether it is New York City, whether it is California, or whether it is Timbuktu, you can go anywhere and perform this yoga system. You don't even have to go to a solitary place. You can chant the holy name of the Lord, even sitting in your own room. Not even sitting in your own room, while you are driving to your office, then also you can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So what should an intelligent man do? Should the intelligent man accept the simpler process or the difficult process? What should an intelligent man do? What is the sign of intelligence? To do something in a difficult way or to do things in a simpler way? Naturally, to do it in the simplest possible way is the best way to achieve the ultimate goal of our life. If somebody comes and tells you, say there is a very tall building, like in America there are Empire State Building, there used to be World Trade Center, it's not there anymore. So now it's a more than 100-story building. More than 100-story. Now you have to go to the top floor. Can you imagine climbing 100-story? Will be so difficult. But if somebody comes and tells you, look, there is a lift. Just go into the lift. And a lift will take you to the topmost floor. So what will an intelligent man do? He will just get into the lift and go on top of the building. But if somebody says, no, I don't believe you, I'll climb. Who can help him? So, the simple process has been given for spiritual elevation. Like, to climb up on top of Empire State Building, 101-story building, can be so difficult. Then can you imagine how difficult it will be to climb to the spiritual sky? It's practically impossible. But if there is a lift, if there is a vehicle that will take us there, then what's the worry? What's the anxiety? If there is a shuttle service, if there is a service that will take us to that place, then what we have to do? We have to just go and secure ourselves in that vehicle. We just stay inside that vehicle and sit tight. Fasten the seat belt and stay securely situated there. Then eventually we'll be very easily elevated we'll reach our destination. And what is that vehicle? That vehicle is ISKCON. That vehicle is ISKCON for us. So what should we do? If we want to go back to Godhead, if we want to go to the spiritual sky, what should we do? We should simply stay in ISKCON. and ISKCON will take us there. In this respect, often I remember one picture, one painting in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. No, it's in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It shows that there is a ship, and the ship is moving with the wind on the sail of the ship. And that wind that is making the ship move is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on the sail. And the boat, the devotees are sitting, devotees are chanting Hare Krishna in that boat. And on top of the ship, you have a name of the ship and a flag. On the flag it says ISKCON. And Srila Prabhupada is the captain of the ship. He is actually steering that ship. And where is that ship flying? The ship is flying through the ocean of material nature. And what do you see in the ocean? There are whales, there are sharks, there are all kinds of dangerous aquatics, crocodiles. And now our situation is like that. Srila Prabhupada has created a boat for us, a ship, to go across the ocean of material nature. And all we have to do is just stay in that ship. And when Srila Prabhupada is himself steering that boat, why should we worry about it? All we have to do is stay in the ship, chant Hare Krishna, take Krishna Prasad, and render a little bit of service here and there. At the end of our life, we'll find ourselves on the other side of the material ocean. So that's the wonderful good fortune that Srila Prabhupada has created for us. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol. Does anybody have any question? Parul? Yes, she has the mic. Mic is not working? Why? Did you switch it on? Okay. You're speaking in Hindi or English? Okay. दूसरा युग में गोलोक वृंदावन में जाना बहुत मुश्किल है, जा नहीं सकते हैं वैसे, बहुत कम लोग जा सकते हैं। जब भगवान स्वयं आकर अपना लीला विलास करते हैं द्वापर युग में, तब कोई कुछ व्यक्ति जा सकते हैं, जैसे दंडकारण्य में जो ऋषियों ने जो रामचंद्र को मिले थे उन्होंने गए जा सके थे वृंदावन में कृष्ण का लीला में योगदान करके बाद में अंत में चले गए थे। और भी जो उपनिषद 108 उपनिषद में जो बहुत ये थे, दक्ष थे, एक्सपर्ट थे, जो उपनिषद को पूर्ण रूप से समझ गए थे, उनको कृष्ण लीला में योगदान करने का अवसर मिला था। ऐसे कृष्ण के लीला में योगदान करके जा सकते थे, पर नहीं तो जाना बहुत मुश्किल है, क्योंकि ये इस बारे में श्रीमद नित्यानंद प्रभु ने श्री जीव गोस्वामी को बोले थे, उपदेश दिए थे कि साधारणतया मनु भक्तों ने वैधी भक्ति से भगवान को सेवा करते हैं, और वैधी भक्ति के द्वारा भगवान के सेवा करने से जब उसको सिद्धि मिलता है तो उन्होंने वैकुंठ में जाते हैं। वैधी भक्ति पालन करते भक्त अभी वैधी भक्ति से ही भगवान को भक्ति करते हैं और उसके पश्चात उनका स्थिति वैकुंठ में होता है। पर गोलोक वृंदावन वैकुंठ से भी पड़े हैं, तो वैकुंठ जाना उनके लिए संभव नहीं होता। तो इसलिए श्री कृष्ण ने जब द्वापर युग में अपना लीला विलास किया तो उनका मन में ये भावना आया कि मैं तो लीला विलास किया, वृंदावन का प्रकट किया, पर वृंदावन में प्रवेश कैसे होगा। तो उस कारण कृष्ण ने विचार किया कि मैं भक्त के रूप में आऊंगा। जब मैं वैधी भक्ति के द्वारा मेरा भक्त का ये भक्त रूपी मेरा जब आराधना होगा, भक्ति होगा, तो वो भक्त रूप कृष्ण को भक्त रूपी कृष्ण को वैधी भक्ति के द्वारा आराधना करने से तब वो वृंदावन में प्रवेश कर पाएंगे। तुम किसका आराधना कर रही हो? श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु। चैतन्य महाप्रभु का निर्देश पालन कर रहे हो। कैसे? अपना मन की इच्छा के अनुसार या वैधी भक्ति के अनुसार? वैधी भक्ति। भक्तों को वैधी भक्ति के विधि के पालन करते हुए भक्ति करना चाहिए। विधि त्याग कर भक्ति नहीं होता है, होने से केवल उत्पात होता है। श्रुति स्मृति पुराण आदि पंचरात्र विधिंग बिना विधि इसके बिना, इसके छोड़कर ऐकांतिक हरेर भक्ति, अगर ऐकांतिक रूप से भी भगवान का भक्ति होते हैं तो उत्पात ही व कल्पति। उत्पात का मतलब क्या है? उत्पात हिंदी में होता है ना, उत्पात शब्द का प्रयोग। तो उत्पात का मतलब क्या है? डिस्टर्बेंस। ये सिंपली क्रिएट्स अ डिस्टर्बेंस इन द सोसाइटी। तो वैधी भक्ति के द्वारा ही भगवान का सेवा करना, और वैधी भक्ति के द्वारा जब चैतन्य महाप्रभु का सेवा होता है, भगवान को नहीं भक्त रूपी भगवान, तब हम रागानुग भक्ति का पालन होता है उसमें। वैध भक्ति दो प्रकार के हैं, राग भक्ति, वैधी भक्ति और राग भक्ति। तो राग भक्ति का भी दो तरीका होता है, एक है रागात्मिका भक्ति और एक है रागानुग भक्ति। रागात्मिका भक्त हैं वृंदावन में जो कृष्ण का जो पार्षदों हैं, भक्तों हैं, उन्होंने रागात्मिका भक्त है, और उनको अनुजाई जो भक्ति है, उनको अनुगमन करते हुए जो भक्ति है, वो है रागानुग भक्ति। तो ये रागानुग भक्ति भक्तों जो ब्रज के भक्तों के अनुगमन करते हुए जो भक्ति होता है वो है रागानुग भक्ति। तो चैतन्य महाप्रभु कौन है? राधा रानी को भाव लेकर कृष्ण आए हैं। तो मतलब राधा रानी का अनुगमन हो रहा है, महाप्रभु का अनुसरण होने से राधा रानी का अनुगमन हो रहा है। तो बताओ वृंदावन में सबसे बड़ा भक्त कौन है? राधा रानी। तो राधा रानी का अनुगमन करते हुए जो भक्ति, वो है सबसे सर्वोत्तम रागानुग भक्ति, और इससे ही केवल हम वृंदावन में प्रवेश करने का अवसर प्राप्त होते हैं। हरे कृष्ण या राधा चरण प्रभु। ओ लास्ट पार्ट अच्छा, दस व्हाट शुड बी द ऑर्डर? आई मीन Yeah, what should be our? Actually, the sound is becoming very disturbing. Oh, I see. Okay. So, I hope I got your question. Anyway, if it is not, please correct me. See, different ages have different processes. And in this age of Kali, Harinam is the way. And this Harinam has two aspects, hearing and chanting, Shravanam and Kirtanam. So, and this Shravanam and Kirtanam will naturally lead to Vishnu Smaranam. Whereas, worshipping the deity in the temple, there's just that process, just worshipping the deity, is the process for the age of Dwapar Yuga. Similarly, in Treta Yuga, the process is fire sacrifice. In Satya Yuga, the process is meditation, dhyana. So in different ages, there are different processes prescribed. Now in this age, since this is the process, others are already included actually. This is the one thing, just as, I don't want to get into elaborate because I'll just stick to the point. Like, simple thing is, you see, dhyan is in itself. But fire sacrifice, dhyan is already included in it. And like that, there's worshipping. And then the Harinam Sankirtan. Now, Nam Sankirtan actually includes all three. It is already included. They worship, when you are chanting, this is the way to worship the Lord. Yagya Sankirtana Praye. So, it is also a sacrifice. It is Sankirtan Yagya. And when you are doing that, the meditation is already there. You are meditating on the sound vibration. So, dhyan, yagya and archan, all three are already included in the holy name. Therefore, holy name is the most effective and most powerful way. Yet, it is the most simple way to execute. It's the most simple way to perform this way of practice in spiritual life. So, if somebody thinks that just by worshipping the deity I will achieve perfection in this age, it's not going to happen. Some rare souls may achieve perfection, and at the most they can go to Vaikuntha. But if one just chants the holy name, then everything is included in that. And the achievement is the highest. So does it answer your question? You are? You have some desire. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. The difference is, when you come to the deity and pray and express your desire of what is in your heart, then the deity will, the Krishna will fulfill that. But when you chant Hare Krishna, whatever desire you may have in the heart, Krishna already knows about it. And Krishna will either fulfill them, or if it is good for you, Krishna will fulfill them. If it is going to make you, help you in your spiritual advancement, Krishna will fulfill. And there is no need to separately ask for any fulfillment of desire. Yeah. But the thing is, you see, again, it's a matter of advancement. At a less advanced stage, one may ask, like a child. When he is little, he asks the father, give me this, give me that. But when he grows up and knows that the father is taking care of him in all respect, then he feels there was the need of even asking. Hare Krishna. Yeah. You had a question. It will depend upon different individuals, how sincerely he is trying to achieve his perfection. But the most important point is here in this age of Kali, while practicing the Sankirtan movement, Sankirtan Yajna, we don't actually have to make any arduous or strenuous endeavor. We simply have to surrender to Krishna while chanting the holy name, and the perfection will be achieved. And the most important consideration is that we don't have to separately aspire for perfection. We simply have to surrender and depend upon Krishna. And at least at the time of death we can see what Krishna will do to us. Right? Our business is, while we are alive, we will render devotional service to Krishna. And at the time of death, we will see what Krishna does to us. Right? And the most important consideration is that at the time of death, we must remember Krishna. Now, if one can remember Krishna at the time of death, he will achieve his perfection, isn't it? And Prabhupada is pointing out that if one is not completely perfected, but at the time of death, Krishna will compensate for whatever he is lacking. Say a devotee has practiced devotional service all his life, and he has achieved, say, 75% perfection. So at the time of death, Krishna will cover that remaining 25% and make him 100% perfect and take him back to Godhead. And not only 75%, 25%, one can even say, if it is, you know, even 40% perfection and 60% lacking, you know, if we are surrendered, Krishna will cover that 60% also and take us back to Godhead. That is how merciful Krishna is. So when we practice the process of Krishna consciousness, our only concern should be surrender. Just surrender. And leave it up to Krishna. And in this respect, there are two examples given. It seems that it's taking some time today is the first day of Chandan Yatra. So Krishna is covered with Chandan. So it's taking some time. That's why the darshan is at 8:30. Anyway, until they open, we can carry on. So the most important consideration is actually surrender. And the surrender is exemplified with a logic, with an example. That example is called the example of a cat and a kitten. The cat and the kitten. The mother cat, you see, the cat's teeth are very sharp. The cat, for a mouse, the cat is death personified, isn't it? When a cat sees a mouse, the mouse is finished. The cat grabs the mouse and kills it. And where does a cat grip the mouse when it kills the mouse? Right at the back of the neck. Right? And his teeth are so sharp and kills the mouse just in one bite. Right? And one jerk. Now, with the same teeth, the cat holds on to the baby cat, the kitten, grabs the baby cat right at the back of the neck, and it takes the baby cat to the safety. And the baby cat is not worried that it's, what will happen to me if the pressure is a little harder? It'll break my neck or something happens to my mother. No. So a devotee's attitude is something like that. simply depends upon Krishna, and he knows that Krishna will take him to safety. Another logic is the monkey. The baby monkey holds on to the mother, and the mother jumps from one tree to another tree. And he just holds on to the mother, and he's safe. So we follow both. We depend upon Krishna, at the same time we hold on to Krishna's lotus feet. Okay. Hare Krishna.